Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He, Jesus, and Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." In those words, we have stated the plan of Jesus to reach the world with the gospel. We took note this morning that the expression "go into all the world" is translated as "you are going." So if your world takes you next door, that's where you go. If your world takes you across the street or across town, wherever your daily life takes you, that's your world. That's your life's world. So as you go, you take the gospel with you. Those words state the Lord's plan. Now here's the question. To whom was the first person the Lord gave this plan to? If your answer is the apostles, your answer's wrong. They're not the first ones whom the Lord gave this plan to. If your answer is, well, I suspect that he probably gave it to the religious elite, that answer isn't correct either. And if you think he gave first this plan to those who were maybe very educated because they could break it down and explain it to everybody, that's not right either. So who's the first one that the Lord shared this plan with? Go back with me now to Mark chapter 5. And I'll show you who it was. In Mark chapter 5 and in verse 19, Jesus addresses a certain man with these words. Mark 5 and verse 19. And he, Jesus, did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Go home and tell your friends what God has done for you. This is the first man who received the Lord's plan from the Lord's mouth. Now, who was this man? This was a man who lived in all places in a cemetery. He was a man who the public had got together and put chains on him because they couldn't control him. He was a man that the public had shackled many times, but he'd break out of those shackles. This was a wild man. This was a man who was totally out of control with himself. This is a man who would run through the cemetery and would run up on the mountains and start just howling and shouting and crying. This is a man who'd run through the cemetery and slam himself into tombstones and cut himself and harm himself. This was Samson gone berserk. That's who this is. This Samson on steroids. And this man then approaches Jesus. This berserk man approaches Jesus and he falls down on his knees. And Jesus asked the man a question. Listen, here's the insight into it. Jesus asked him, he said, "What is your name?" You know what he said? He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Brethren, a legion is 6,000. "For we are many" is an understatement. Here's a man who has been possessed by demons. Listen to me. If this man had demons in him that numbered into the thousands, there is no way that you and I can sit here tonight and imagine the deplorable condition this man was in his mind. So Jesus addressed the demons, and they very politely addressed him. The demons had more respect for Jesus than a lot of folks do today. They politely addressed Jesus. Jesus drew the demons out of him, and the Bible says that this man then sat clothed in his right mind, and when the town saw him, they were amazed that it was the same man. And then Jesus gave this man the plan, and he was the first to get it. Jesus said, "Go home. Tell your family what God has done for you." Very, very quickly, I want you to note three things that Jesus gave him here. First, Jesus put this man in motion. Jesus told him, "Go." He put him in motion. You still with me? When Jesus told him to go, you know what? He didn't want to go. He put up a fuss about going. Look at verse 18 and verse 19. "And as he was getting into the boat," that is, Jesus is now leaving, this is over, "the man who had been possessed with the devil, demons, begged Jesus that he could go with him, and Jesus did not permit him to and told him, 'No, you go home and tell your family what God has done for you.'" Jesus put him in motion. Jesus says, "I want you to go." He's all right, "Look, I don't want to go." He wanted to stay with Jesus. Listen, what he wanted is that he wanted to watch Jesus. But Jesus didn't want him to watch him. Jesus wanted him to get in motion for him. Let me tell you what happened here in our vernacular. He said, "I'm going with you." Jesus says, "You're not going with me." He said, "I don't need you to follow me and shout amen every time I'm preaching a sermon." He says, "What I need you to do is get out there, do some preaching yourself, and let folks shout amen with your voice." He wanted to watch. Jesus said, "I want you to watch." He said, "I want you in motion." Now let me ask you something. When Jesus put him in motion, when Jesus told him to go, listen, what did that guy have? He had three things. first thing he had was a voice. He could talk. Him and Jesus had a conversation. He had a voice. The second thing he had was convictions. Nobody was ever going to tell him that Jesus wasn't the real deal because Jesus had been the real deal with him. He had conviction about Jesus. And the third thing he had was the truth. Those were the three things he had. Those were the only things he had. And Jesus put him in motion with that and said, go. Now, let me tell you what he didn't have. He had never had an intensive course on evangelism. He'd never had that. What he didn't have was a handful of CDs that had Jesus sermons on them that he could pass out to other people. What this man had, the only thing he had, is what you and I got. We got a voice. We got some convictions about Jesus and who he is, and we had a truth. And with those three things, Jesus put him in motion. Notice the second thing from that. Jesus not only put the man in motion, Jesus gave the man a message or a mission. He gave him a mission. He said, go home. That was his mission. Go home. What was Jesus telling him? He was saying, listen, I want you to go, but the mission is when you go, go to the people who are nearest to you. Go, that's where you start. Go to the people who are nearest to you. Go to your family. Go to your co-workers, go to your friends, go to your neighbor. Just go to whoever's close to you. You know where Jesus was sending him? Jesus was sending him to people whom Jesus himself would never run into. Did you hear what I just said? That's where he sent him. Because Jesus is being thrown out of that region for this deal where he put the demons at. Jesus is leaving that region. Jesus is leaving. Jesus sent him to address people that Jesus was never going to see. Let me tell you something about all of us. All of us live in a different people world. People in your world, not in my world. People in my world, not in your world. What does that mean? That means there are people in your world, and you, in all probability, are the only Christian that person knows, and none of the rest of us are ever going to see that person or know that person. And if you don't get in motion and go, they got no chance. They had no chance. So Jesus put him in motion. Go. Jesus put him in motion with a mission. You're going to those who are nearest to you. And third, Jesus put him on a message. What is the message? Go tell them what God has done for you. Now let me ask you something. Can you do that? Can you tell other people what God has done for you? Let me ask it this way. Where would you be sitting right now at this moment if you'd never heard of Jesus? Huh? Where would you be? Listen, listen, if you not, if it wasn't for Jesus, would you be alcoholic? If it wasn't for Jesus, would you be an addict? Without Jesus, listen, would your life be a mess? Would your home be a mess? Would your mind be a mess? Can you tell others what God has done for you? I know what God did for me. God changed my life. God gave me hope. God gave me peace. God gave me salvation. Bless God, God gave me a future. What Jesus told this man is what Jesus later told the apostles, and it's what Jesus has told you and I. Take your voice, take your convictions, and take the truth, and go tell people who are nearest to you what God has done for you. You know who this guy is right here? This guy is a living example of who Jesus is and of what Jesus can do. Guess what? So are you and I. So are you and I. We are living examples. We are living examples of what Jesus can do. And whoever's phone has got the Dairy Queen music on it, you need a life. Now, focus back up here. Focus back up here. Everybody, you got a voice, you got some convictions, and you got some truth. And that's what you need to take to those nearest you, and that's what you need to share with them. This evening, you're subject to the invitation. Come right now as together we stand and as we sing.